time for the Ian Furness Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All righty then, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday, Kev.
Happy Thursday, Ian. How are you?
Good. I am good. Let's see. Highlighting what we're doing here in this first segment, but I've got another idea that we're going to hit on as well.
Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, that's funny. We're going to get to that in a second. Big show today.
I thought you did a great job in the previous show from 10 to 1, like you do every day when you're on that show.
Yeah.
3 hours, 10 to 1.
It made me do 5 hours of radio. It'd be the last 5 hours I ever did.
You know, there are some five-hour shows out there.
Well, you know what? God bless them. People want to hear themselves talk a lot. In television, we say it's the guy that wants to be on TV or the woman. Like, people sometimes they just want to be on TV as opposed to, like, being a reporter and journalist and putting nice things together. Some people just want to talk on the radio. Me, I want to give you quality radio, and I can only give you 2 hours of that a day.
It's good to know your limitations again.
After 2 hours, I run out of steam, man. I'm done. I'm old, man. Oldest guy here. Kevin, how are you? Where are you?
I'm in the Redbox producer's booth, and Redbox has the newest movies fresh in the theater under $2 a night. So head to the box or stream on demand.
Let's do the headlines.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
1 o'clock headlines brought to you by Venue Kings, venuekings.com.
Woo!
Exciting stuff there. We got hockey tonight at Climate Pledge Arena. Kraken playing host to San Jose. That's a 7 o'clock start. 6:30 pregame. Mike Benton is already here.
San at Jose?
Yes, they are at. No, see, no, stop.
Damn it, that doesn't work for other places?
No, only Tampa at Bay.
San at Francisco?
No.
Where are you from? At San at Diego?
By the way, Lund tomorrow on the show.
Oh.
He's bitching and moaning because he's going to be cold in Green Bay. I don't really need winter clothes. That's tough. Covering a team in the divisional round is really hard, fella. Anyway, Kraken tonight, San Jose, 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame. Benton is here. He is in Network Central already.
They're coming off a win, baby. Woo!
That's right.
Yes, finally.
Grubauer gets the start in net. Alexiak sounds doubtful. Probably means Fleury, I would assume, is in. See if they can get a regulation victory.
You know, I went back and read that Jeff Baker piece. Did a good job.
Did a really good job, yeah. We'll talk to Dave Tomlinson coming up at 2 o'clock, by the way, more on the Kraken at that point. We've got college basketball tonight. Washington is in Corvallis to take on the Oregon State Beavers, a tournament team last year. Remember they won the Pac-12 tournament and then went to the tournament, got a little deep run going?
Yeah.
Quick gander at the record this year. They're 3-13. Washington might get to 500. Actually, no, they're already at 500. They're 8-7, yeah.
Woo!
How about that? That's an 8:30 start.
8 o'clock broadcast on 1090 KJR.
Thank you very much, because we'll have the Kraken here on 950 KJR.
Yep.
Let's see. What else we got going on? Do I care? Oh, Will Bruin re-signed with the Sounders. I like that. I like Will. Good dude.
Yeah, that's a
good dude.
It's funny. I went through the release they put out there.
Yeah.
Underwhelming numbers last year. He was hurt for part of it, right?
He was hurt, yeah.
He's been a big... When he's out there, he makes a difference.
Well, he's a good depth guy up front. In you would hope you have some a healthy Jordan Morris, right, this year?
That's the hope.
That helps. But, yeah, they signed Kellen Rowe yesterday. They loaded up. They got the kid from Salt Lake the other day. They just all – you know what they do? They just win. So boring. That's good. Let's go. Let's get the show going. Nick Ford is your offensive line Morris Trophy winner for 2021. He's from the University of Utah. They are at the WAC today, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so they're down there today at the Morris Trophy banquet. Nick Ford is there. We'll talk to him coming up at 1:30 today. He'd fit a need in Seattle, wouldn't he? Plays, I don't know, this weird position. Center.
Is that an important position, Ian? Does he know to hand the ball to the official?
Oh, that was weird,
when you
huh?
need to get it spotted?
Yeah. I don't blame. I mean, I know what happened in that game. I get all that. But, you know, with the Dallas situation last week, you know, the umpire was late getting there for some people. How about this? Don't run a quarterback draw with no timeouts left.
And he defended it.
Yeah. Why risk it?
Well, with 13 seconds left, we had plenty of time.
Yeah, why risk
why
it?
Are you? You are requiring the oldest and least healthy group of officials of any sport to keep up with you in order to have the time work? You're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, why are you counting on that?
Silliness. Okay. We'll get some Russell Wilson stuff in a minute. We'll get to that in a heartbeat. I don't know. Do we do the worst segment ever, according to Twitter? I listened to that segment with those guys, the tweet of the day. I didn't think it was listen, they do a lot of bad segments. I'll give you that.
Hearing someone get hit by a car, and by the way, did you love the accent? You know where she's from?
Where's she from?
Philly. Oh, so I didn't know, but as soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, this girl's from Philly, and she got hit by a car. This is going to be fun.
And she's quitting. Like she said.
Well, yeah, she said this is like her last week on the job. Yeah, she got hit by a car.
The video's out there. It's all viral. I mean, a reporter, she was by herself. She was what you call an MMJ, so she has to set up her own gear. She's a one-man band.
Multimedia journalist?
Yeah, you're a one-man band. Small market TV. The anchor didn't have a monitor to see her, so he didn't know she got hit by the car.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So there was a lot of things going on there.
Oh, jeez.
But she got bumped by a car while she's doing a live shot, and it just turned into a big thing. I thought it was a great, tweet of the day segment myself. I thought it was really good.
I'm sorry. The way that they talked through it and hearing someone get hit by a car, that was okay.
Yeah.
Important to remind again. Yes, okay.
She's okay.
Yes. Was very entertaining. So I will respectfully disagree with the guy who said, you did a bad job that segment.
The tweet was as follows. That last segment by Ian Furness and Cougs Go has got to be the worst segment in sports radio history. Showing TV news footage to radio listeners, how does that make any sense at all? Don't you have a producer who tells you no when you have a bad segment idea? Well, just to clarify, my bad segment ideas come from my producer. That would be Kevin. I've yet to have a bad segment idea.
No, Ian is shooting 100.
I've never missed.
Batting 1,000.
I'm the sportscaster of the year, fella.
You don't win awards for being a loser.
No, I would never do that. I mean, you got me confused with somebody else. When you're the sportscaster of the year, you don't make mistakes like that.
Exactly.
Why would you make a mistake like that? So
are we still talking about this? My God.
Yes. You get yours at 2:45. So we're gonna try to do I would just ask you at 49451. That's the Kevin Shockey Memorial Text Line.
R.I.P. me.
49451, Kevin Shockey Memorial Text Line. Give us an idea. What would be the worst segment I could ever do or have done? We'll give you your thoughts. 49451. I bet it's going to be something. Here's the thing. It's got to be something I did.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't
Stanford
suck,
Stanford pregame show?
That was something. Now, it was memorable.
Make sure we'll look at the text. We'll see if we can see Purple Sheet's text when he comes in. It was a Stanford pregame show.
Is giving away $50 to Beardsley a bad part of a segment? Is that a bad segment or is that a good segment?
No, it's bad. Awful.
It's bad? Okay, well, I won't do it then.
Let's do it anyway.
Now down the far side, Donato fires that one, turned aside, and the rebound put in. They score! Ryan Donato following up the play, and the Seattle Kraken pull this one back even. It's 2-2 with 17:58 to play here in the third.
Donato, a one-man wrecking crew.
Donato, a one-man wrecking crew. Remember
Donato,
that.
Donato, a one-man wrecking crew.
Thank you, Dave Tomlinson. Donato, a one-man wrecking crew. Remember that. 2 o'clock today, we'll give away $50 to Beardsley Public House, courtesy of Beardsley Public House. Thanks to Chef John Howie. You remember that. You'll have a chance to win $50 to spend up there if you remember this.
Donato, a one-man wrecking crew.
From Dave Tomlinson at 2 o'clock, our Kraken report at that point.
Pretty big goal there to tie it in.
Yes.
Tied at 2 in the third period.
It was. All right, I want to do this. So we were going to do this a couple days ago. We've had other stuff to talk about this week. And listen, we're going to have all year to do Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
We're going to play some sound. We have three cuts to play. Mike Garofalo was on today with Puck and Jim.
No, Ian does the show before.
Oh, yeah.
Because he did that terrible segment.
Yeah. 11:45. With Jim and Ian were on earlier. And they had Garofalo on. They were reacting. Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee show. There's been, the talk about Russ and what's going to happen. The drama is going to continue, frankly, until we see him on the field at training camp. It just will. It's everyone's had an opportunity to get rid of it. And I was talking, in all seriousness, I was talking to Jim and Puck earlier today. We just had a little message chain going and kind of sorting through everything that's happened. I'm going to try to connect the dots as best I can after we play this sound.
Okay.
And when I say I'm going to connect the dots, I'll be honest with you. Part of this is, and I don't know if he ever told me it was off the record. I don't remember. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember. But I did talk to Mark Rogers. A lot of Mark Rogers has talked to almost every media guy in town. Yeah. That's his thing.
He makes calls.
He makes calls, especially if he hears something he doesn't like or agree with. Doesn't like to return calls, but he does like to call you if he thinks. But I'm going to do my best to try to connect the dots and make it make sense for you in terms of the whole Russell wants to be traded. Here are the four teams. He's going to ask his way out. And when I say connect the dots, kind of take you back to a year ago. All right? But we'll do that. First, let's get three cuts on and I think it's interesting because I think in all three of these, Russell's given an opportunity to just make a definitive statement to say, I want to stay here. So there's three. We'll start first, and these are all in chronological order.
Yep.
December 12th, after the win in Houston, I had a chance to talk to Russ.
Russell, everyone back home is watching this. They've been watching you since 2012. There's been a lot of noise for the last little while, last year plus. You addressed it a little bit this week. I'll let you do it again. All the noise about, does Russell want to be in Seattle? And not saying live in Seattle, play in Seattle. How long do you want to play in Seattle?
I mean, as I addressed earlier this week, you know, if I can play 20 years.
Play 20 years in Seattle.
Of course. Okay. Of course. Yeah. So for me, you know, I obviously love this game, and obviously I love this city. So I'm just focused on tomorrow, focused on the next day. But, you know, of course I want to play in Seattle. I mean, that's my dream come true. Yeah, if I had a dream come true, that would be it. You know, so I'll just stay focused on the course, you know, and, you know, if I can play 20 years in Seattle, it'll be a special thing.
Okay. That was the first one. This is the famous Q&A with Corbin Smith about a week or two later.
Hey, Russ, you're on the record several times recently saying that you hope to be with the Seahawks beyond this season, but you're one of the few players in the league that has full control over your destiny with a no-trade clause. Why, if you want to be in Seattle, instead of saying you hope to be here, why not just come out and definitively squelch these rumors? What is there to gain keeping the door open when you have full control over your fate?
Well, I think first of all, Corbin, you know, when it comes to no trade clause in sports, the main reason is so teams can't trade somebody to anywhere. That's the number one reason, right? Because in sports, you know, you can wake up the next morning, you're gone somewhere else. That's the number one reason. I think going back to your main question though, you know, for me, you know, I think what I'm really super passionate about, obviously, you know, my goal is to win more Super Bowls and, my plan is to win them here. You know, it's that simple. You know, I think that's, and so that's, you know, there's nothing really else other than that.
All right. And this is the Russell postseason news conference.
Yeah. You guys keep asking the same question, but, you know, I think maybe you guys know something I don't know, but I think that, you know, I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, I love playing here. I love the city. I love being here and everything else. And so, you know, I also love winning too. You know, we also got to do whatever it takes to make sure that we're doing that. And I think that's the standard. And that's what I believe. And so I got to do my part. It starts with me first and the rest of the guys and all of us together collectively, what we can do better. But yeah, I mean, I think that obviously I love the city, and that's my hope and prayer.
You plan to sit down with Pete at all at any point? Make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah, maybe I'll fly to Hawaii and sit down with Pete. Maybe I'll catch the flight with him or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, of course. I mean, Pete and I obviously have a great relationship, so I'll definitely talk to him and John and all that stuff too, and we'll chop it up and have some good time together.
Do you feel like you're on the same page or close to it at this point?
Yeah, I think we've always been on the same page, and that same page is to do whatever it takes to win. You know, I think that's been our focus. You know, it's always been our focus since I got here. And I remember Coach calling me up on draft day, you know, the day they drafted me, saying, hey, you're going to compete for this thing now. And I just always remember that. And so that's what we're all competing for, is to try to be better, you know, and I think that's our focus.
All right. So there you go. Those are all about 4 weeks apart from the first to the last one, right?
Yeah, I believe 12-12, 1-3, mm-hmm. and 1-9, I believe, okay. are the three dates.
So I kind of want to just leave this at after this segment, and we'll, if we have to react to something that happens newsworthy-wise down the road, I think a lot of us are kind of at the rust, and I think a lot of you guys listening right now, honestly, are probably at the fatigue level with Russell Wilson, you know, stuff. Because nationally it makes for good conversation, and you never know where things are coming from, although I think many of us that do cover the team have a good idea where things are coming from on both sides, to be honest with you, on both sides.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the agent, it's on both sides. And the one thing that comes out of those three specific questions in which all of us kind of tried to pin him down to say, just say definitively you're going to be here, which he never did do. It's his dream to be here. He said that all three times. It's my dream to be in Seattle for my entire career. That's what he said. but he never said, I will be here. He never definitively said that. And I think that's an important part of it. But he also never said exploring his options, which is the new story. This is why it's even a story this week. This is why it's even a thing this week, because, you know, we'll talk to Rapp tomorrow. He's on the show tomorrow at 1:30. You know, exploring his options. All right. So here's why I want to connect the dots. And this is the part that I think is kind of, it's important for just the context to kind of understand where he is and how this whole thing took place a year ago. And I'm going to tell you that from a number of people, this is pretty much how it all went down. And I think it's, I'll just ask you, listen to exactly what this is. All right. So at some point last offseason before the draft, John Schneider didn't reach out, but had other teams, plural, reach out to him. Is Russell Wilson available? A logical question for any GM in the NFL to ask that's looking for a quarterback.
Who is the GM in the NBA that said, I call on Michael Jordan every year?
It was my guy in Salt Lake, Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah. Of course, I call every year.
I call every year and ask, is Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen available?
Yeah.
You're not doing your job otherwise. And, you know, when Pete says that and John says that, I mean, we all kind of laugh and scoff at it, but they're right. Like, you listen and do everything. When he had his little, I'm pouting, you know, I look like Kyler Murray, that's the only time he's ever looked like that. I said yesterday he's never looked like that. He hasn't in a game, but he did in the Super Bowl when he's sitting with Roger Goodell. And he's kind of pouting. He's upset. He's mad. He's not playing there. He's not Tom Brady. Then he goes on the Dan Patrick show. I'm tired of being hit, and it turns into a thing. So GMs reach out to Schneider, whether it was one GM or two. I know it was at least one, maybe two. They reach out. Is Russ available? Schneider listens. Well, what do you have to offer? Why wouldn't he? He wouldn't be doing his job, and that's not just his. Of course he did. He listened.
Yeah.
Well, then let's just call it Russell's camp because it's the NFL, and GMs talk to, I don't know, agents, they say, hey, yeah, you know, they're willing to listen for a trade. They are. We have a no trade clause. Well, let's be proactive on this. So they're proactive. You guys want to mess with us? Here are the four teams we'll go to, and only those four teams, which takes all leverage out. Well, Seattle did want to trade them, by the way, right? So it was just a battle back and forth. Never necessarily Russell wants to be traded, and never necessarily Seattle wanting to trade him. But what it was, it's really simple. It's really not that hard. We've spent a whole year talking about this. You feel the phone call. He doesn't like it. And because of that, you have an issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, here would be my response to that loosely.
And I'm going to tell you right now, that's what happened. So I'm speculating. I'm going to tell you right now, that is what happened last spring. I don't know where we're at right now, but that's what happened last spring. I can tell you definitively from both sides, that's exactly what happened. And that's why the four teams came out.
Right. That whole four teams thing, it didn't have to go down like that, though, because you could have said, I'm not being traded. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get traded.
Mm. Yes.
So
yes.
That's why I would say the fact, okay, so they're mad that John Schneider kind of did his job. Okay, fine.
And I think it goes back, Kevin, real quick. I think it does go back to, and Puck mentioned this earlier, I think it does go back to, well, why are you scouting other quarterbacks? Again, that's your job.
Yeah. So, and what I would say is for someone in Russ's position who does have that power of that no-trade clause,
right,
he could have said, screw that. I don't get traded anywhere.
Yeah.
But by saying, oh, yeah? Well, fine. Only these four teams.
Sure.
That's so.
He took the power back.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He took... They, because it's not just Russ as an individual. They, him, his agent, his people, whatever, they tried to get back into a powerful leverage situation in case they needed to have that. That's what they did. There's a soundbite somewhere in our system. Maybe we can find it. It goes back. I reference it oftentimes. When Puck and I went to Russ's first golf tournament. And his quote was really simple, but it holds true today. It's why he has never said definitively, I'm not going to, yes.
I love this community. I love this football team. I love these fans. And so ultimately, I want to play here. You know, it has to be the right situation for me, though, too. I'm not a bad business person. That's for sure.
That was in June of 2015.
I'm not a bad business person. No, he's not, man. Like, Russell Wilson's a lot of things. Great quarterback, probably a Hall of Famer, Ring of Honor guy here. He is not a bad businessman. He is not. 2015, 6 years, 7 years ago, he says that, right? So yep. It was like six and a half because it was in June of 2015. Well, yeah, that's why he hasn't come out and definitively said, I'm not gonna allow a trade anywhere. Why would he? It'd be stupid on his part. It'd also be dumb on the Seahawks' part not to answer the phone. That's where we are. And thus, that's where we will be for the next few months until sometime in the last one or two days of July or the first day of August when we look out at training camp and we see number three on the field, red jersey, separation, preparation, rah-rah, here we go. But that's where we're going to be. I think it's just important because we're going to hear, trust me, we have so much NFL the next couple weeks. And these networks have so much time to fill, Kevin. They have all these damn studio shows.
It's juicy.
And it is. And Russell Wilson wanting any top shelf quarterback that may potentially be on the market, that is salacious as it gets in the NFL.
And that does not take the opportunity to say, I don't want to be traded.
And he's had that multiple times and never has. But why did he not say it? It goes back to June of 2015. Not a bad businessman. He'd be a fool to say that. Really. Much like the Seahawks would be a fool if John Schneider looks down and his caller ID says, you know, Chicago Bears, New York Giants, or whatever it might be. I'm going to go ahead and ignore. That'd be silly on his part. He wouldn't be doing his job. And I'm Jody Allen. I'm like, dude, what the hell? Take the phone call. You never know. Right? Just like Kevin O'Connor said, every year I call, is Michael Jordan available? Never was.
Hey, but if you get him in a weak moment.
You never know where Krause was going to be.
He is. Wait, no!
We'll check in with the top offensive lineman in the Pacific 12 Conference. Kevin calls it the Conference of Champions. I don't know if I'd agree with that.
Do I?
Yes.
Huh.
49451 on the Kevin Shockey Memorial text line as well.
Rest in peace, me.
There you go.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle's original diehard sports station and home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 56. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, just a couple seconds to check in with Nick Ford, offensive lineman from the University of Utah. He was honored this year, along with Micah Tafua on the defensive side, both Utes, as the Morris Trophy winners voted on. We've been part of this for a while. Voted on by the fellow linemen in the Pacific 12 Conference. So it's a really cool honor because your peers decide that you are the top lineman, the guys that you play against all the time. So we'll check in with Nick Ford in just a couple seconds. Played every position on the offensive line in his career. Versatile. Played a lot of center as well. Played some guard this year and seems to be. And we'll talk tomorrow. We got Rang on tomorrow. We'll check in with Rob on both of these guys in terms of the draft as we continue to kind of wrap up the season. We talked about some of the young guys in the Seahawks last week, so we'll check in with Rang tomorrow. Our weekly visit with him from Fox Sports. I think he's down there today as well.
Usually is,
the Morris Trophy presentation.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. Linemen coming from Utah, historically known as pretty weak-minded, kind of like soft individuals, right? I want to say this before he's on hold.
Yeah, Star Lutilelli, Nate Orchard, Isaac Asiata, Bradley Ane. Guys are all Morris Trophy winners along the way. Yeah, they've had some success down there. So we'll check in. By the way, fourth Pac-12 program to win both the offensive and defensive awards for the Morris Trophy. In fact, we talked to Isaac. We were down there 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago. I remember talking to Isaac Asiata from the Utes in 2016, and he just retired from football a couple, I want to say this past year. Delightful guy, really fun guy to talk to, so we'll check in. All right, is he there? Beautiful. Joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline here in Seattle. We're just down the street from us right now, the Washington Athletic Club. It's the Morris Trophy presentation, the awards luncheon, which is always a big celebration of Pac-12 football, and the offensive Morris Trophy winner joining us, and it's Nick Ford from the University of Utah. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm really good. First and foremost, congratulations. What a cool honor. And what does it mean when it's not just not an all league or any kind? This was voted on by your fellow linemen in the Pac-12. What does that mean to you?
It's awesome. I have great respect for a lot of. The opponents we played, there's a lot of talent, and it's just, it's a nice way to end my college career, and you know, just know that everything that I've set out to do, I've gone and accomplished, and it's just a blessing.
Hey, looking ahead, what's going on right now? Are you preparing for the draft? How does that process work? Do you go somewhere else, or do you stay in Salt Lake?
Yeah, no, I'm training in Carlsbad, California, at an Exos facility with Coach Roy Holmes. Shout out to Coach Holmes. He's, you know, getting me right. I love it down there. You know, my body feels great. Losing a little bit of weight. Getting faster, getting stronger. So, I mean, you know, taking it one day at a time, not looking too far ahead and not trying to get stuck up on the same day.
You're from California, right, originally? So you're kind of going back to your home state.
Yeah, I'm from L.A. It's only about like an hour, 10 away.
How did you survive those winters in Salt Lake, man?
Oh, I love the cold. I love the cold so much. I sleep with the window open, the A.C. blasting. You would not expect that. I love the cold so much.
Hey, Nick, your story, your team story was really, in so many ways, a heartbreaking one this year, and yet it was culminated by, you know, a chance to play in Pasadena the first time that Utah has played in the Rose Bowl. But, you know, over the course of the last, what is it, maybe 14 months, maybe less, you lost two teammates, both to shootings along the way. You persevered as a team through that. Can you walk us through how close-knit your team is, what it meant to get to the Rose Bowl and playing, you know, in honor of 222s?
Yeah, I mean, you know, God bless them. You know, we miss them every day. We thought we were a close group, and, I mean, we were a close group. It's not even like, you know, me saying we had issues or everything. You know, everyone got along, but the initial death of Ty brought us close, and then, you know, the you know, shocking death of, you know, Aaron just, you know, completely, you know, just made a lot of people realize, like, you know, life is really short. And we were determined to, you know, be a team and be a fist, because the only way to break a fist is, you know, to point a finger at somebody else or, you know, do something unpleasant to somebody else. So like the bird. So, I mean, you know, we stuck through it together as a fist. This group, two words is, you know, just grit and determination. You know, we've been through a lot of pain, and, you know, through that pain you find growth, and that's the only way you're going to grow. And, you know, it caused a lot of people to grow up really fast. And I think the fact that it happened in a team setting allowed us, you know, to become closer, as, you know, none of us judged anyone, you know, for crying or the emotions they felt, but, you know, we're supportive and, you know, there for our, you know, our brothers, because that's how, you know, it really is. We're really brothers. So, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, in pain there's growth, and definitely being there for one another showed that, you know, at a vulnerable time that, you know, we're serious about our love for each other.
Well said, Nick Ford, offensive lineman for the University of Utah, the Morris Trophy winner. Nick, I worked down in Salt Lake for a few years. You would have probably just been an infant back then when I was there, because it was a long time ago. But back then, your head coach was a defensive coordinator. I got to know Kyle Whittingham a little bit, and to this day, one of the most impressive people I've ever met in college football. What did Coach Whittingham mean to you and just to your team through those tough times? Because what he was able to do to get you guys where you were this year was remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, he stuck everything together. You know, he was the glue to everything, and just his, you know, you can see a genuine, you know, you never like to see a pain in another man's eyes. But you can see, you know, the genuine, you know, just pain and despair that he was in when, you know, these events happened along right with all of us. And, you know, this showed that he's really a player's coach, and, you know, he loves us like his own kids. And, yeah, Coach Witt, you know, he's awesome. He, you know, he helped lead us. He helped, you know, be there, make sure, you know, we had our support staff and everything. But Coach Witt, he's a different kind of coach. And, you know, I love that man. I love him for life. And I can guarantee you that everyone in my team is going to say the same thing.
Does he still go in the weight room and throw it around with you guys like he used to 20 years ago? Does he still go in there?
Every day at 1 o'clock. Every day at 1 o'clock. Every day at 1 o'clock, we'll find him.
He's a machine, that guy, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a stud.
I love it, man. When I was there once, like 20 years ago, it was the day before a game, and he literally smashed his hand on some weights. And he's like, I'll be a little late because I did an interview with him every week. I'll be a little late. I'll be up there in a couple minutes because I did it in his office. I went up there, his old school radio, went up to his office, interviewed him. And he comes up. I go up there, and his hand's like in this bandage. As it turned out, he had to have surgery like a few days later. It's all his thumb's like dangling off his hand. I go, do you want to postpone the interview? He goes, no, I'm good. I'm fine. He ends up getting surgery two days later, man. That guy's a beast.
Yeah, he's one tough son of a gun. When you think, like I've been saying up here, this is a blue-collar program and, you know, bloody football, and, you know, he's that personified.
What was it like playing in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl? We don't have to talk about the result, just just walking into that stadium, that aura, the history there. What was it like? Was it, culmination of a lot of hard work, and I know you guys wanted to win the game, but what was the Rose Bowl like?
You know, it was awesome. The experience prior to the bowl game was, you know, amazing. And then the bowl game itself, you know, it was ecstatic, especially, you know, thank you to all the fans who traveled out. And, you know, it was just life-changing. It's something that I always grew up watching as a kid, and a lot of people grew up watching. You know, it's the granddaddy of them all. So it's a memory I'll never forget and I'm grateful for. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people in life, most people, majority of people, 99.99% of people don't get to experience. And, you know, it's a true blessing to be able to experience that and have those on-the-field memories.
Nick, I wish I was down there. Normally, in normal circumstances, we do our radio show down there for the Morris Trophy, but, you know, crazy times with COVID and everything else. So, but one thing we've asked guys for the last 5 or 6 years, we have them on the air, because the next step for you and so many others is the National Football League Combine and draft and all that. So you played all five positions on the offensive line. I kind of think of you as a center, but I'll ask you, what's the scouting report on Nick Ford?
The scouting report is whatever you need, whether it's, you know, a light tackle, a light center, a light guard, a heavy, whatever, you know, whatever you feel, you know, fits me best is that's where I'm going to line up. You know, I have no problem, you know, doing everything for the team, and that's what I got to do is what I got to do. So, you know, I'm, you know, still training at all five and, you know, keeping my knowledge and my footwork correct. And once I get to a program, you know, hopefully they'll set me in a spot and I can begin to settle and develop more. But, you know, I'm just going to take every opportunity that's given to me.
Are you a center, do you think? Do you think you're a center in the NFL?
I learned how to snap a little better. I never truly got taught how to snap. I just got asked like a snap. I said, I know how to throw it backwards, and that's pretty much it. So.
Well, listen, man, congratulations again, Nick. It was a lot of fun getting to know you and talk to you. And, you know, I know defensive linemen in the Pac-12 are happy as hell you're moving on to the next level. So best of luck to you in the pro ranks. And we'll see you and track you down the road, man. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Stay safe.
There you go. That's Nick Ford. He is the Morris Trophy winner from the University of Utah. Fun guy to have a conversation with. And I like that scouting report. So, yeah, I played center because I could just throw it backwards.
I knew how to throw a ball backwards, so, yeah, I could do it.
Well, awesome. You want a cerebral guy that knows what's going on. He's played all five positions, and just listening to him talk, he kind of screams center in some ways. And yeah. I think he can teach a guy how to snap. I mean, he did it enough this year, but yeah. There you go. We'll talk to Rang about him tomorrow. I mean, that's those kind of guys you need here in this particular town for their line. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll do a daily power play, and then top of the hour, Dave Tomlinson, your chance to win $50 at Beardsley Public House and Brewery, right?
Should we?
One more time.
All right, fine.
Donato, a one-man wrecking crew.
I call Kevin that, too. Kevin Shockey, one-man wrecking crew. Say that.
Usually it's not in a positive way, but, you know.
That's usually at 3:01 when we're done off the air. We'll come back with the daily power play next.
Malkin shoots one in on goal, deflection, they score! It's Crosby!
In front, Kucherov, score!
This is the Daily Power Play.
What a blast from Nathan MacKinnon, and there's a power play goal!
Now Ian Furness on Sports Radio 950.
This is the battle of Alberta we've been waiting for!
KJR.
Slides back up to the far boards. Fox pokes it back to McKeg. McKeg finds Reeves, who scores! Ryan Reeves makes it a 2-1 game. Back to Miller. Miller flings a shot that goes wide. The rebound off the end boards. Reeves with a shot and scores! Ryan Reeves' second goal of the night. It's 3-2 Toronto.
Ryan Reeves had a couple goals. Adam Fox had his goal as well. Rangers over the Maple Leafs, 6-3. But Ryan Reeves, kind of known for not so much his skill. His hands are usually used for something else. Had his first two goals since joining the Rangers after coming over from Las Vegas. So they get the win last night. They're 26-10-4, man. That is a Stanley Cup contender in New York City at Madison Square Garden, which I know Kevin is a Flyers fan may not love, but the NHL is in love with that.
Was 1994 the last time for them?
Yeah, when they beat the Canucks, right?
And I guess we just need to make sure that we don't let O.J. Simpson do anything stupid in the
time.
June 17th, 1994, I believe.
Wow, look at you.
Well, do you remember the 30 for 30 was so good.
Yeah.
And they're going through because it was that happening at the same time as
the NBA Finals
the parade for the New York Rangers. It was crazy.
Reeves, 35 years old today, got the two goals last night. TNT crew, Paul Bissonnette, Anson Carter, and the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Named Wayne Gretzky.
Okay.
I think Bissonnette mostly. Remember our interview the other day we played with Leon Draisaitl?
Let me see if I can remember.
Why are you so pissy?
Here's the opposite of a pissy interview.
Hey, you're going to be sucking wind like you were in those last couple of shifts. I don't think.
I almost cut the interview off. I was like, that's a wrap.
Well, we're all pulling for you to get that hat trick, but congratulations on a great game, but we want to know, how were the lungs the last minute and a half?
No, the bench kept telling me to stay out. I was like, stay out. I'm going to be in the middle of the ice just in a coma. I don't need that.
They were trying to get him his hat trick, so he got the last 90 seconds of the game, which a normal shift is about a third of that.
You say it's like three or four times
as long as normal. Yeah, so but Ryan Reeves, one of the fun characters in the National Hockey League, and he gets his first two goals. By the way, the NHL yesterday also, they did reschedule games, like 98 of them, when it was all said and done. Update for the regular season schedule. 98 games have been postponed over a two-month period from November 18th through January 18th. 2 days ago. I was just thinking, that's wild. All teams will then, we didn't mention this yesterday, but it's important. All teams will complete the schedule by April 29th, which is the original closing date of the year. That should keep the calendar intact for Stanley Cup playoffs. And now, we don't have to worry about that here, Stanley Cup playoffs. But what we do care about would be...
They could turn it around, Ian. No, Angels in the outfield. It could happen.
When we go up to Snoqualmie Casino the next time, the sports book, let's see what the futures are for them to make the playoffs.
Not great. But
the big thing for Seattle would be, you'll keep the draft on time and all that stuff. So
Note for this for Seattle, that they were going to have everything off between February 1st against Boston in Boston and February 24th against Boston at home.
The Olympic break.
But now there are seven games in between. So they have a week off between the 1st and the 9th. But then they have versus Arizona on the 9th, at Anaheim on the 11th, three games the week of the 14th, and three games the week of the 21st. So that's how the schedule changed a little bit.
Yeah, so there they go. Canada's still having its issues. Ontario, I think Manitoba, and definitely Ottawa.
What about none of it?
They're having 500 people. Then they're going to have 50% capacity. Yeah, it's a gong show up there. So anyway, there you go. That's your daily power play. Real quick, I want to get... You mentioned something to me was good. It doesn't have to be something good.
I have something good.
Okay, go ahead. Fire away.
Real quick, just if you're interested in these sorts of things, I think almost as a public service.
Yes.
But USPS is sending out 4 tests to every home.
Oh, wow.
You need to go to... Now I'm realizing I really should have actually gotten the information on the website before trying to share this ahead of time. But if you Google, USPS COVID at-home test delivery, something like that, there's a website now. You just go in, you put in your name, you put in your address.
And they fire off 4
and
tests.
You're going to, within, I believe, 7 to 10 days, everyone's going to get 4 at-home tests per household.
Oh, good.
And just knowing around here the challenges it has been to get tested and to get at-home tests, This is a helpful thing.
At-home tests are hard to find, right?
They're impossible to find, Ian. I tried, was needing to, and couldn't.
I'll give people an update on something. I was at a Walgreens in Maple Valley today, and they had at-home tests. And I asked the pharmacist, I was picking something else up, and I said, aren't those usually hard to find? Because you have a whole bunch of them. She goes, yeah, they're really hard to find.
Yeah.
I said, I should probably get a couple. So, I don't need it. Apparently tests, that is hard to find. Yeah. So
covidtests.gov.
Perfect.
Okay. Is the website, and I just, again, knowing knowing how difficult it has been to get them, unless you know to go to that place in Maple Valley, apparently.
Well, Walgreens in Maple Valley, man. Get out there right now.
They're probably gone by now, but covidtests.gov is the website. If you're needing those or wanting those, you know, public service, there you go. Now you know. Go on there. They're not going to send them to you unless you ask for them, so you need to go to the site.
Is that easier than going to Belfair, Kev?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
And it still took... They sent it down to, like, Carlsbad, California, where Nick Ford is working out.
Wait. So you were on the same plan as Gerald Everett.
Oh, my goodness.
You're gonna say, see, like, NFL, NFL players don't get any special
treatment.
They're
just
treatments.
Like us, Ian.
They're just like you and me. Coming back, we'll check in with Dave Tomlinson, his weekly visit next.